Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is the epistle reading and all the other readings as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I often hear about people who are looking for the perfect church, or they leave the church they're in because it isn't perfect enough for them. People want a church where there are no hypocrites, no sinners. They want a church where there's no conflict, where everyone gets along. They want a church where the pastor never talks about stewardship, and yet all the bills get paid. Above all, they want a church where they're not called sinners. The old Adam hates to be called what it is. Well, there's a little poem I found on the internet that should help those who are looking for the perfect church. The perfect church. If you should find the perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sake, don't join that church. You'd spoil the atmosphere. If you should find the perfect church where all anxieties cease, then pass by it, lest joining it, you'd mar the masterpiece. If you should find the perfect church, then don't you ever dare to tread upon such holy ground. You'd be a misfit there. But since no perfect church exists made of imperfect men, Then let's cease looking for that church and love the church we're in. Of course, it's not a perfect church that simple to discern, but you and I and all of us could cause the tide to turn. Well, fools we are to flee our post in that unfruitful search, to find at last where problems loom, God proudly builds his church. So let's keep working in our church until the resurrection. And then we'll each join that church without an imperfection. The perfect church won't have perfect leaders because there is no such thing. The perfect church won't have perfect people because there's no such thing either. But if you're interested in finding the perfect church, let's use Holy Scripture to guide us in that search. The perfect church, first of all, is where the Lord speaks. We are blessed to live in the New Testament age where the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ himself, the incarnate Son of God, shepherds his flock. And he shepherds his flock through his word. He said in John's Gospel, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now people gather in groups all the time, in clubs, in meetings, in get-togethers, and in charitable organizations. They might even talk about God sometimes. But how do you know that this is church where you are here and now? Because it is here where God speaks, where the Lord does the talking through his word. If I had a dime for every time that someone tells me that they feel closer to God in nature, I could have retired 10 years ago. Throughout the Old Testament, God condemned those who would seek him in nature, in the forests and in the high places, as they were called. God had ordained that he be found in one place and one place only, and that was the temple. For that is where God was found with his word and his gifts. Furthermore, the perfect church is where the good shepherd shepherds his flock through the proclamation of his word in its truth and purity, sound doctrine, as the apostle Paul calls it, and where his sacraments are administered according to his institution. Our Lutheran forefathers called the purely preached word and the rightly administered sacraments the marks or the outward signs of the church. Where you have these marks, you can be confident that there you have the church, the body of Christ. So the closest anyone ever gets to God is right here, in his word and in his worship, where God speaks. Where God in his word has revealed everything he wants you to know about him as your God. And everything that you need to know about how he has saved you from your sins. The perfect church is also about where God speaks his word in law and gospel properly divided. What I mean by that is that God speaks his law in its full truth and sternness to show sinners their sin and their need for a Savior, to call them to repent. You won't hear that in nature. Maybe that's why people like to go and find God in nature, because God doesn't speak his stern law in nature until lightning strikes you on the head. Like bulldozers and scrapers preparing the land for the building of a road, so through his law, God lays the groundwork for his other good word, the gospel. In the gospel, God speaks his word of forgiveness and mercy and compassion and reconciliation in Christ Jesus. You certainly don't hear the sweetness of the gospel in nature, but you hear it here, where God speaks through his word. And it's only here that Jesus gives you his true body and blood in his sacrament for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith. But in God's grace, his word and his sacraments aren't confined to any specific building like they were in the Old Testament. The church is a movable feast. It is found wherever you have word and sacrament. Whether that's in the home of a shut-in, or at a hospital bed, or in hospice care. You know, our shut-ins lament that they cannot gather with their fellow Christians in worship in church anymore. But it is my joy and delight to take church to them, because Christ is present in his word and sacrament. Second of all, the church is where God forgives sins. If a church were made up of perfect people, it wouldn't need God's mercy and compassion. In fact, such a church wouldn't need Jesus at all. It would be just fine without him. After the Pharisees, who themselves thought they were the perfect church, after they had grumbled that Jesus and his disciples ate and drank with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And today's gospel reading is addressed to those same Pharisees who believe that sinners didn't belong in church. But because salvation is only found in the gospel, the perfect church is where the mercy of God is proclaimed to sinners who know of their fallen condition. In our Old Testament reading from Micah, "The Lord our God is a God of forgiveness. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." At the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus said, "It is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Do you remember those TV ads in the 1990s from Ford Motor Company? They said that quality is job one at Ford Motor Company. Well, the number one job of the church is to declare repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. That's what you hear in church. A friend of mine, a pastor, once lamented that he had lost two families from his congregation because they were upset that he talked about forgiveness too much. So they went to a church where they didn't talk about forgiveness at all, and they were happy. But the church is all about seeking and saving the lost by forgiving their sins. Look how heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. The Apostle Paul was a man who was changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He writes in our text, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. The church is here for any person who feels unworthy of God's love. It is here for those who feel like they've done something from which they believe God would never forgive them. It's for people who feel that they are outside of God's grace. For these people, the church is here to comfort them with words like this from the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul was a blasphemer of God and a persecutor of the church. He delighted in the imprisonment of the saints and their deaths. But because Jesus won the forgiveness of sins for all people on the cross, even for people like the Apostle Paul, God shows mercy to all. Jesus sought and saved Paul. Even when Paul didn't think he needed to be sought out, found, and saved. You see, Paul as a Pharisee thought he was already going to heaven because of his wonderful good works. But he was so wrong. And Jesus sought him out, found him. And to this man, Jesus entrusted his most precious jewel, the proclamation of the gospel, to the Gentiles. So think about it. How many of us here today are here because of the work of the Apostle Paul? So in the perfect church, Jesus seeks and saves the lost through his word. Through the law, proclaimed in its full power and sternness to show your need for a Savior. And in the gospel, where Jesus is revealed, where sinners are forgiven, where the doors of heaven are opened. And because the gospel is our Lord's proper work in the perfect church, the gospel predominates in our preaching, our liturgy, and our Christian conversations. Lastly, the perfect church is where Christ is proclaimed to the Christian and not the Christian to Christ. If this congregation is made up of perfect people, wouldn't we be tempted to boast to God how wonderful we are? Wouldn't we like to tell the world, look at us, we are a wonderful people, we're great. God, look how much better we are than those other Christians over there. But then that would mean that we would be living under the law and not the gospel. You see, the law is about what God demands from you and what you give to God. So if our worship focuses on what we do for God, then we are living under the law. Yet living by the law ultimately leads to one of two paths: arrogance, where we do think we're better than other people, or despair, where the law does its job and shows us that we are sinners. But the gospel is about what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. The gospel reveals his compassion, his mercy for sinners, his steadfast love and forgiveness. Therefore, what should be the center and focus of our Christian life and worship? Should it be the law, or should it be the gospel? Should it be what we do for God, or what God does for us? Well, what was the center and focus of Paul's life and worship? Well, he said, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience and an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. Paul didn't boast in himself. He boasted in Christ. The center of Paul's life and teaching wasn't what Paul did for Jesus. It was what Jesus did for Paul. Remember what he said, what we call the motto for Paul's entire ministry, we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. As you follow our liturgy and sing our hymns, I hope you find that the center and focus of our worship and our life together as Christians is Christ crucified for you. And that this most important message dominates our proclamation that Jesus has come to save sinners. So what describes a church better? A country club or a hospital? Well, the church on earth isn't a gathering of the righteous and the well-healed. It is a place where imperfect people, where sinners receive the spiritual care and healing that is only found here in God's hospital for sinners. The perfect church is where Jesus shepherds his people through his word. The perfect church is where the mercy of God is proclaimed to sinners. And the perfect church is where Christ is the focus of our worship and our singing. From man's point of view, there is no perfect church. No matter how hard they try to find one, they won't. Everyone sins. Everyone's a hypocrite. Everyone loves himself more than God or his neighbor. But from God's point of view, the church is washed in the blood of Jesus. It is his body through whom Christ continues to seek and to save the lost. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. And the congregation, please stand.